verses 1 to 21. And then Benga's going to come and preach to us this morning from that scripture. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. And so you'll know that I think it was last week, I gave an overview of the whole of Acts chapter 1 and everything that we've preached from the book of Acts so far. So we've done chapter 1, and now we are into chapter 2, okay? And so Benga's going to preach the first half this week, and then Benji's going to come next week and finish this chapter. And so in my Bible, there's a title, The Holy Spirit Comes at Pentecost, okay? So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." In Jesus' name, we declare the word of God in this place, and we pray that it would not return empty, but it would receive, it would achieve everything that the Lord has set it forth to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, Pastor has mentioned the series we started from the book of Heart of the Apostles, starting from chapter 1. And in the book of chapter 1, Jesus Christ gave them a promise. Let me just bring you back to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 4. He said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Moving now to Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord. We are going to look at the step, all the facts that were mentioned in this particular chapter. Because every word of God is important. There is nothing being mentioned in the Bible that does not have its own significance. And we need to pay attention to all these statements, and they are statements of fact. Praise the Lord. Starting from that particular verse, we are made to understand that on the day of Pentecost, you know, it was a Jewish feast. It was is always held 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Passover is an event by the Jewish people. And they term it to be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And it's being celebrated as the first fruit of the wheat harvest. You know, in those days, I mark their festive time or period based on the activities they do. Praise the Lord. And also, it's also a Jewish tradition taught that Pentecost marked the day when the law was given to Israel. So those are the two reasons why they celebrate the feast at that time. Praise the Lord. And we could see that in the Old Testament, the days of Pentecost is the day where the Israelites received the law. And in the New Testament, is the day of Pentecost where the church received the Spirit of grace in fullness. You could see the similarity between the two in the Old Testament, you see that it was the receiving of the law. And in the New Testament is what is like we receive grace in fullness. The grace of God is being received in fullness through the help of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, it was now 10 days. It was, you know, I mentioned the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 4, where Jesus Christ promised that they should wait in Jerusalem, that they're going to be an empowerment. They're going to be endued with what? With the filling of the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, that will empower them. So it was now 10 days after the time Jesus ascended to heaven, praise the Lord. And since he commanded them to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples, they waited patiently. I think we were discussing in last service what really happened, where they were waiting. Where so many people were of the opinion that they were waiting, they waited patiently, they don't even know what they are waiting for. Praise the Lord. That they were able to trust Jesus Christ, you know, enough to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit here. But I want you to understand that the disciples were not strangers to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. They are not strangers at all. The disciples saw the Holy Spirit continually at work in the ministry of Jesus Christ. They were with Jesus Christ and they saw everything that happened when Jesus Christ was with them. Praise the Lord. So the disciples experienced something of the power of the Holy Spirit as they step out and serve God. You remember when Jesus Christ said to them that they should He divided them two by two, and that they should go out to go and minister to witness to people. Praise the Lord. Also, the disciples had Jesus promise a new coming of the Holy Spirit. In the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 18, Jesus Christ promised them that it is better for him to do what? It's better for him to leave so that the Holy Spirit might come. There's a reason why he was saying that they need the help of the what? They need the help of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The disciple received the Holy Spirit in a new way after Jesus finished his work on the cross and instituted the new covenant in his blood. In the book of John, again, chapter 20, verse 19 to 23, when Jesus Christ, when he appeared to them in the room, he prayed for them. Praise the Lord. Let us look quickly at that particular verse. The book of John, chapter 20, verse 19 to 18, to verse 19 to 23. Praise the Lord. John 20, 19 to 23. Praise the Lord. And then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, while the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hand and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Praise the Lord. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So you see, Holy Spirit is something that Jesus Christ has been telling the disciples one after all through our lifetime. But this particular day of Pentecost is different. Praise the Lord. It's different. You know, the disciples might be wondering what is about to happen to them. He has breathed on us. He has said we should receive the Holy Spirit. Then why is he now saying that we should wait again? Praise the Lord. They are curious. They are eager to know what was really what this is going to be about. Praise the Lord. Then the disciples had Jesus command them to wait for a promised baptism of the Holy Spirit that will empower them to witness. Just as I've read in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4 to 5. They waited until the day of Pentecost fully come. The disciples didn't know ahead of time how long they would have to wait. They have to wait a full 10 days. 10 days after Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, that was when the Holy Spirit came. Waiting for 10 days. Waiting for good 10 days. What does that mean to us? Waiting for 10 days. Praise the Lord. You see, if you are, probably you want to go to, you are in an office and you are waiting for somebody and the person kept you there, not even knowing when you are going to be attended to, and you were there. And probably they are watching you in the CCTV camera, knowing how you are going to, how can you undo pressure when not being attended to? How can you relate with people? What are you be doing? Why waiting? Are you just sitting? Are you just waiting, or what are you doing? Praise the Lord. These are the things that we need to be asking ourselves. They waited 10 good days. Praise the Lord. They waited 10 good days. The lesson here for us as believers, God used this time to break them down and then build them up. We can imagine how their patience and kindness and compassion were tested during this time. Yet, they stayed together for a good 10 days. They stayed together for a good 10 days. Praise the Lord. Is somebody seeing what I'm saying here? Different people, the disciples were not born of the same mother. Praise the Lord. They were not of the same mother, but they stayed together for a good 10 days. Praise the Lord. What this passage tells us about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a promise to us. It's something that God promised that he's going to give to us. So many of God's promises that we are not even expecting at all. We're not expectant. Praise the Lord. We're not expectant of what God has promised to us. But this group of people, the disciples, were expectants. Praise the Lord. They were expectant. They were waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit, secondly, is worth waiting for. The gift of the Holy Spirit is worth waiting for. After this lesson, you understand why it is worth waiting for. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes at its wills, often not according to our expectation. It comes as it wills, not as our expectation, not when we are expecting it, but we must be expectant. It comes at its own will, not our will. Praise the Lord. The gift of the Holy Spirit can come upon not only individuals, but also upon group of people. That is exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit came upon group of people. The gift of the Holy Spirit, again, is often given as God deals with the flesh, and there is a dying to self. Praise the Lord. Often given as God deals with the flesh. As God deals with the flesh. As the question we need to ask ourselves, as your flesh being dealt with, have you subjected your flesh does not take over you? You know, man is higher percentage of spirit than flesh. Praise the Lord. Do we understand what I've said? That we are of higher percentage of spirit more than flesh. Because we are made to understand that we are small God. God create, we are created in the image of God. A lion, when a lion bears a child, it looks like a lion. You carry some characteristic, some trait about that lion. So God is spirit. So if you want to deal with God, you deal with God in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. You deal with God in spirit and in truth. So if you don't subject that flesh, and your body is always craving for it, you don't subject it. You don't have the spirit to have upper hand in your life. You see, your connection with God will be somehow shaky. Praise the Lord. That's why I said we are of greater percentage of spirit than of flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. He said, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all in one accord in one place. He said, I'm trying to look at all the important words being mentioned that are relevant to us today. Praise the Lord. They are gathered together, sharing the same heart, the same love for God, the same trust in His promise, and the same. They are in the same geography. There was no conflict among them. There was no argument among them. They were with one accord. They were with one accord. They were in one accord, in one mind, in one fellowship, coming together. Not disagreeing with each other. Not conflicting, not fighting. Praise the Lord. They have one mind, one purpose. Praise the Lord. So it's easier for the Holy Spirit to do what? To calm down. Praise the Lord. Before we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must recognize our emptiness by gathering together for prayer in obedience. The disciples did exactly that. They gather together in obedience. They recognize that they are empty. They need to be filled. They need to be what? They need to be filled. So our emptiness matters to us in the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Are you empty? Praise the Lord. The question we need to ask ourselves this morning: are we empty? Are we expectant? Are we expecting something higher? Are we relying on our strength? Do we have that strength in the face of adversity? Do we have that power to face what is ahead of us? Praise the Lord. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They recognized they did not have the resources in themselves to do what they could or what they should do. They had to instead rely on the work of God. Praise the Lord. You know, as I was sitting down there and I was thinking about the preaching, and it occurred to me that, you see, the Holy Spirit is like, you see, I begin to liken the Holy Spirit to so many things. Thank you very much, Reverend, for this opportunity, because it really helps me to dig deep into the study of the day of Pentecost and the importance of the Holy Spirit in our life. You know, I was in that place. A scripture came to me. He said, "How God anointed Jesus Christ with Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good." Jesus Christ on earth, being a man, required the help of the Holy Spirit to do wonders. Praise the Lord. So we now see, and immediately too, my mind was drawn to, though I have the scripture too as well, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, that the Spirit of God was upon the water, was moving around the water. It now occurred to me that to bring about miracle, to bring about things being done, we need the Spirit of God moving around. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. You see, there is so many things that we can accomplish in when the Holy Spirit is present. Praise the Lord. Yes. Wonders happen, miracles happen. Praise the Lord. And suddenly, there came the sound from heaven. There came a sound from heaven. Definitely, the sound was not from nearby. They acknowledge the fact that the sound actually came from heaven. Praise the Lord. So anything that comes from heaven is above. It's not from the environment. It's not a makeup story. Praise the Lord. It came directly from heaven. As of a rushing wind. You see, this single line tells us much about how the Holy Spirit moves. I've mentioned the book of Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 to 2. Also Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, when God made the mortar to make man, and he breathed the Holy Spirit inside of man, and man received life. Praise the Lord. And also, we could see in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 10, why God said to Ezekiel to prophesy over the bones. We are meant to understand that the Spirit of God was also present, bringing about the word, bringing about the new life. Hallelujah. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat on each of them. Praise the Lord. It sat on each of them. Those divided tongues as of fire, this is an unusual phenomenon. It has not happened in what? In Old Testament. It's an unusual phenomenon. Praise the Lord. It was connected to the fact that John, disciple, was talking about Jesus Christ. He said, there's someone that is coming after me that's going to baptize what? With what? With fire. Praise the Lord. With fire. In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 11, we'll baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. We'll baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. And also the idea behind the picture of fire, you know, in my course of study, you know, when fire is being mentioned in the scripture, it talks about purification. You know, God, as I was preparing this too as well, God just reminded me what happened to Isaiah in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, when he had a vision. Praise the Lord. And he said he's not worthy, that his tongue is filled with different, his tongue is not clean. And we are made to understand that the angel touched the mouth of the tongue of Isaiah with a tongue of coal, the fire, to refine his what? His lips. Yes. Praise the Lord. So when it comes to fire, fire is a purifier. So the tongue of fire that sat on them signifies purification. That the Holy Spirit is not something that just it comes to purify them. Praise the Lord. It comes to purify the apostles and us as well. Praise the Lord. And another thing that happened here, the experience of the follower of Jesus Christ on the Pentecost is another example of God sending fire from heaven. Remember Elijah sending fire to consume sacrifice. Fire has been sent to consume sacrifice, to do this, to do that. But this particular fire is not consuming sacrifice. Praise the Lord. It fell on the apostles. In the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1, he said that we should present our body as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. Praise the Lord. We are presenting as... So it, the Holy Spirit coming on us is coming on us to consume us. Praise the Lord. as a living sacrifice. Yes. As a living sacrifice. Praise the Lord. So again, under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit rests on God's people more as a nation. In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit rests upon the people as a nation, not as individual, like what happened in the New Testament, in the New now. But under the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit rests upon God's people as individual. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There is an infilling of the Holy Spirit. They were all filled. Apart from the rushing of wind, apart from the tongue of fire on them, they were filled. Yes. Praise the Lord. If you are filled, you know you are filled. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just like you are filling an air or a gas into a cylinder, and you put it under a weight, if you get to a stage that you see the reading of the weight coming, it's just air that is being blown into the cylinder, and the weight will be increasing. So it's something that they will feel it. It's not something that just happened. Praise the Lord. They have the feeling. They were filled. And they experience it. They experience the feeling this time around. Praise the Lord. As of fire, the true gift, being filled with the Holy Spirit, was also accomplished. As we are expecting this in our present day, we should do what the apostle did before and during the filling of the Holy Spirit. What did they do? The apostles were filled in a fulfillment of a promise. In a fulfillment of a promise. What God? The question I ask you, so many things were promised for believers in the Bible. How many of those things have you waited for? If the apostle could wait for this promise, you see, the disciples were filled in fulfillment of the promise. Because it was promised, that was what bring about the fulfillment. For everything God has promised you, he will definitely fulfill it. Praise the Lord. He said he respects his name more than any other. It is not a God that can lie. God can never lie. Praise the Lord. Anything he said he will do, he will surely do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, they were filled as they receive in faith. They were filled as they receive it in faith. They receive that Holy Spirit in faith and they were filled. That means we have to do what? We have to work on our faith as well. They were filled in God's timing. In God's timing, not our time. They were filled in God's timing, not our time. They were filled as they gather together in unity. In unity. So there is something about unity. There is something about unity. The Church of God must be united. Central Baptist Church, we must be united. Praise the Lord. If we want things to happen in our midst, we must be united. There must be unity of purpose. Praise the Lord. There must be unity of purpose among us. Yes. They were filled in unusual ways. Unusual ways. You see, ways that are not known to them. Ways that they are not accustomed to. These are the ways they were filled. So this coming and filling of the Holy Spirit was good and essential for the work of early Christians. And that was why Jesus Christ actually said that it was better for me to leave the heart bodily so that he could send the Holy Spirit. Because God knows that Jesus Christ knew that they would need it. They would need that enablement. They would need that power. They would need that power. They would need that power. Everything that the Holy Spirit represents. Praise the Lord. Then again, there is this speaking of tongues. We are made to understand that the Spirit gives them utterances and they begin to speak in what? They begin to speak in different tongues. And they began to speak with other tongues. In response to the filling of the Holy Spirit, those present, not only the 12 apostles, we are made to understand that there were 120 of them. And we know that the 12 apostles were just 12. So everybody there fell under the anointing and they were speaking in other tongues. They were speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. Devout men from every nation. It's like during this time of this particular feast, different devout people come from different places. Praise the Lord. Like a pilgrimage journey. They go. So we have people, devoted people from every walks of life. They were there. So the praise the Lord. You know, there's something timely about the day of Pentecost. It wasn't just another day. It was something that the whole world will experience, not just a region. Praise the Lord. Not just part of the country. The places that were mentioned in that scripture were mentioned up to Libya, they mentioned up to Arabs. Praise the Lord. So you can see that it was on purpose. God knows the timing. He knows the right time. He knows the right time he wants to get across to his people. Praise the Lord. That was why he made it possible. He made the coming of the Holy Spirit to come at that time, at that particular time. Praise the Lord. And when the sound occurred, a crowd quickly gathered. They were attracted by that sound. They gathered because they had the sound. The sound was what brought them. When people were speaking in different tongues, you know, it's going to be pandemonium. So this noise attracted people to come out. Praise the Lord. They attracted them to come out. We hear the speaking in tongues, the wonderful works of God. What they were speaking, they were just speaking their languages in different they were praising God in their own language, in different countries' language. Praise the Lord. Just like we are here, we have Chinese here, we have Africa, we have Ghana, we have other every country here. And now be praising God in your own tongues. You could see how it's going to be pandemonium. But God understands all these languages. Praise the Lord. And he knows that you are praising him. Praise the Lord. So that was what was happening. And so those that were present were hearing people praising God in their language. They were amazed. They were perplexed. That was what the Bible said. They were amazed. They were. It's a strange phenomenon. It's something that had never happened before. Praise the Lord. So they were surprised. They came out. From that remarkable event, all were amazed and perplexed. But some used it as a means of honest inquiry. In that particular place, there are two people. Praise the Lord. With what happened, with all the things that happened there, there were two people, their responses, there were two people. Some asked honest, what they make honest inquiry. Then the other people were making mockery. They said, no, don't mind them. They are drunk. Praise the Lord. They were drunk. And that their mockery does not really hold anything because one, we are made to understand that it was around 9 o'clock in the morning. And secondly, the Jewish tradition, the Jews, they don't eat until after the third hour. Praise the Lord. So by that time, they've not even eaten, talk less of drinking. Praise the Lord. So it's inconsequential. They were just, people will say something when they are seeing the move of the Holy Spirit. People will question. People will be wondering, which group do you want to belong to? Are you going to belong to people that will make honest inquiry? Or are you going to be the one that will be making mockery? How will it happen? You will not engage in a lot of argument. What happened? Maybe you saw somebody walking. We pray for somebody and that person started walking and you started asking questions. How does it happen? No, we don't know how it happened. All we know, we pray for them in the name of Jesus and they receive their healing. Praise the Lord. That's what happened. But some people will be making some inquiry. How does it happen? They want to know the process, the ABC. Praise the Lord. Remember, the crowd had a common language. The crowd, they had a common language. It was Greek. And that was the language that Peter used to preach to them. So Peter was not speaking to them individually. You know, he was not speaking to them individually in their languages. He speaks the language known to all of them. Praise the Lord. He used the language known to all of them to preach to them. Praise the Lord. The primary gift of the speaking of tongues primarily is a gift of communication between believers and God. You know, there is a lot of controversy about speaking in tongues here and there. In the people are talking about different things about. But if you go to the book of 1 Corinthians, let's quickly look at that. Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to man, but to God. For no one understands him. However, the Spirit speaks mysteries. Speaking in tongues, we speak what? We speak mysteries. Praise the Lord. We speak mysteries when we speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm looking at the time. Praise the Lord. The gift of tongue is the personal language of prayer given by God. Hereby the believer communicates with God beyond the limit of knowledge and understanding. When you speak in tongues, you are communicating with God. In a language that limits, you know, that does not limit your knowledge and understanding. Praise the Lord. When you are speaking in tongues, you are connecting the dot spiritually. Praise the Lord. You are connecting the dot spiritually. You are connecting the dot spiritually. That's what you are doing when you speak in tongues. After all, communication with God is what speaking in tongues is all about. And you are not speaking to man. You are speaking to God when you speak in tongues. Only God understood the language. See, Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Let's look at that. Peter stood and preached to the crowd as a representative of the whole group. There was no conflict. Immediately, Peter began to preach. The speaking of tongues was stopped. You could see that there is no conflict. The essence of the coming of the Holy Spirit was to prepare the ground for the message that Peter wanted to preach. Praise the Lord. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit that prepared the ground for that message. It was the one that made the message meaningful. It is the same message. It did not tell them that no, what you are seeing is what Christ promised. It did not come to that. It showed them from what they know to what they don't know. They know of Prophet Joel, praise the Lord, in the Old Testament. So he went to the Old Testament to try to explain to them what was really happening. Because some were curious. They were asking honest questions. What is this? He now preached to them based on what? He used what happened in Joel to explain the happening to them. Praise the Lord. So they will understand. Just like Jesus Christ used to do, he uses what they know to tell them what they don't know. Praise the Lord. And there's something that happened in the life of Peter. Praise the Lord. Peter raised his voice. Peter that was scared to talk to a little girl that denied Jesus Christ with a little girl. He was able to raise his voice. Listen to me. He stood up with all boldness, with all audacity. Praise the Lord. He was able to stand up and speak the word fluently. Praise the Lord. We are made to understand that they were saying, are these people not Galileans? Are they not Galileans? Who are Galileans? They said Galileans, they are uncultured people to them in those days. They were uncultured people. Praise the Lord. They were asking them, they are speaking with intellect, with understanding. How come these people are speaking? They are unschooled. Galileans, according to them, they are unschooled people. And how are they speaking like people that have gone to school? People that have passed through, you know, institutions. That's the way Peter was speaking. Praise the Lord. See, this remarkable sermon had no preparation behind it. It wasn't prepared like my teaching today. It wasn't prepared. It just happened spontaneously. Praise the Lord. You know, it was prepared by Peter's prior life with God and the relationship with Jesus Christ. Peter had the relationship with God already. He had the understanding of the book of Joel. So he was able to correct, he was able to plot the dots by the help of the Holy Spirit to connect the dots that this is what was being said in the New Old Testament, being fulfilled in the word in the New Testament. He connected the dots. Praise the Lord. And this was bring about what brings about that exponential harvest that, on that day. About 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. They were making inquiry. What do you want us to do? He was able to connect the dots. Praise the Lord. With the help of the Holy Spirit, he was able to connect that dot. What gave him that is the what is the help of the Holy Spirit that empowers. That's what the Holy, that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does in the life of what? In the life of Peter. Hallelujah. Focusing on God's word did not quench the moving of the Holy Spirit. It fulfilled what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. Praise the Lord. When Peter started sharing the word, it doesn't quench the work. Praise the Lord. Because you can't separate the word from the Spirit. They work together. The Spirit of God is what? Is one. Praise the Lord. Is one will be complementing each other. They don't contradict each other. Praise the Lord. So the preaching of the word does not contradict the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit prepares the ground, the word comes in, praise the Lord. They only bring about the conviction. You know, so the two they work together hand in hand. Praise the Lord. The group spoken to was uniquely multinational and multilingual. The group of people there from different tribes. Praise the Lord. He quoted, he said, it shall come to pass in the last day. The idea of the last day there being mentioned was talking about the time of the Messiah. Just like Richard was singing this morning, he said, we are in the last day. That thank God we are in the last day. These are the things that will happen in the last day. And what happened on the day of Pentecost is just the first half of that fulfillment of the promise. The second half is still coming. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is what? Is coming again. Praise the Lord. Are we glad to hear that? Jesus Christ is coming again. Peter did not say of that Pentecostal endowment. He didn't even talk about it at all. What Jesus Christ told them. He didn't say anything about it. He pointed them to Joel. Praise the Lord. This was that which was spoken. This was that which was spoken. That was what he said. It was spoken by Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Using the quotation from Joel, praise the Lord, was able to explain the curious onlooker, to explain to what happened to the curious onlooker. Praise the Lord. Something new about the Pentecost under old covenant. Certain people were filled with the Spirit at certain time for specific purpose. But now, under the new covenant, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for all who call upon the name of the Lord. Even manservant, male servant, anybody that call upon the name of the Lord will be what? Will be saved. There had been no provision for that and no promise of that or an ability present of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Old Testament saints. There was nothing like that in the Old Test for the Old Testament saints. But here in the New Testament, that was a new happening, something new. That when you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Praise the Lord. It's being referred to what the scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. It said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It said, the righteous run into it and they were saved. See, when you call the name of Jesus, you will what? You'll be saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, that sermon, Peter took it to evangelistic purpose. Whoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Whoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I have some questions. Questions about the speaking of the Holy, speaking in tongues and so on and so forth. The next slide. Is the ability to pray in an unknown tongue a gift given to every believer? Is the ability to pray in tongues, to pray in unknown language, given to every believer? That's number one question. Number two, is the ability to pray in an unknown tongue the primary or singular true evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? If you speak in tongues, does that mean you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The question for us today. The first question is being answered in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. Praise the Lord. He said, different gifts were given to different people at different times. Praise the Lord. So you might have a different gift, different from the gift of speaking in tongues. That was what Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthians. Praise the Lord. If you look at that particular verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. Do all have gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Is the question he's asking. No. Do all have the gift of healing? Do all of you have the gift of healing? Do all of you have the gift of speaking in tongues? Praise the Lord. Do all of you have the spirit of interpretation? You can't have all the gifts at the same time. Praise the Lord. So the number one question is being answered with that scripture. And secondly, the second question as well too, he's saying that is the ability to pray in an unknown tongue, the primary or singularly true evidence of filling of the Holy Spirit. No. There are so many people that are filled with the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues. It's something that you desire. If you desire to speak in tongues, you pray to God and God will give it to you. If you don't desire it, some by apostolic the Spirit of God fell upon them to unpick them. Praise the Lord. But if you want it, and you clay for it, you pray for it, and you receive it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So this morning, or this afternoon rather, whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are some people here this afternoon that you probably want to call upon the name of God. Salvation is in that name. Praise the Lord. There is no other name that man can be saved except through the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That decision, we made it one time or the other in our lives, in our various lives. And our lives have never remained the same. Praise the Lord. So if you are here this afternoon, you want to call upon that name, the Spirit of God is here. We are made to understand that on the day of Pentecost, you see, we are in the day of Pentecost. You see, it's a continual process. We are asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Feel your presence. Feel your presence in your temple. We are waiting on you. We keep waiting on him, on the Holy Spirit to fill us every day. Keep filling. It's a continual process. Praise the Lord. So if you are here this afternoon and you want to give your life to Christ, you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior, it's a moment. It's the right time. Praise the Lord. It's the perfect time. You know, there is always timing for everything. Praise the Lord. The day we preached about the day of Pentecost, where the apostle received that power, that promise that Christ gave, that Christ promised them. You know, when we talked about it, it's a significant day for you to give your life to Christ that you will never forget. Praise the Lord. If you are here, probably you are shy. You might after the service, you might come and meet Reverend Craig or Richard. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you know you are shy to come out, praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you this afternoon. We bless your holy name for the word that we have had, Lord. We pray that, Lord, this word we have had will mix with faith in our heart and produce results in the name of Jesus Christ. For those that have one thing or the other, curiosity about this message, or probably have one thing in their life that they are expecting from you, Lord, with the help of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray you attend to them, attend to their, give them the answer, a solution to their problem in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray you shed more light upon every dark place of their life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. Right. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm sorry for keeping you late. It's 12:30 already. Praise the Lord.
Why don't we just stand to our feet, if we're able to. Maybe have a little shake. Praise the Lord. And just to correct our brother on one matter would be, he doesn't need to apologize for preaching the word for an extended period of time. Two or so hours out of your week to gather in a room with other believers to listen to the word is not a huge ask, is it? And so that apology should never really be necessary. And we trust that the Lord will bear fruit, amen? As the sowing and the watering has been done this morning, we trust that he'll bring the growth. Praise the Lord. And so why don't we just take a moment just to respond. As Benga has said, that if there's anybody here this morning who does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord and their King, then today is the day, amen? Today is the day. Don't leave it a moment longer. And how you might respond to that this morning is seek me out at the end of the service. As he said, seek Richard out. Maybe Eleanor down here at the front, Benga himself even. Maybe he'll be encouraged by the response this morning. But I just want to ask us again just to position ourselves in a way where we can receive. And so if for you, you need to sit and reflect, if you need to stand and hold out your hands, if you want to come out and kneel or anything like that, however you want to position yourself this morning. And we're just going to simply ask that the Holy Spirit would come and move and work. You know, as was described this morning, the day of Pentecost was a one-off unique experience in terms of many of the things in there. But one thing remains, that the Holy Spirit has not been taken out of the world. There's no evidence in Scripture to say that he has. He wants to give us gifts, amen. He wants to equip us, enable us, empower us, encourage us. Maybe it's conviction that he needs to bring this morning. He does all of these things, amen. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask that as we wait on you, that you would come. One thing that stands out to us about what we've heard this morning in the book of Acts is that it was a loud, fiery experience. Amen?
Hallelujah.
But that doesn't mean that our expectation should be that will always occur and it will always be loud and fiery when the Spirit comes. Amen? The power of the Spirit is just as much to us for developing the fruits of the Spirit within us and molding and shaping us to be Christ-like as it is to maybe lay hands for healing or to impart a gift or two. And so, Holy Spirit, we just say, come. If you believe for that this morning, just join me in saying, Holy Spirit, we say, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come. And just begin to welcome the Holy Spirit. Don't leave me to it.
Holy Spirit.
If you desire him this morning, this should be our everyday, desiring the Holy Spirit. desiring a fresh filling, desiring the gifts of the Holy Spirit,
Hallelujah.
That we might serve Him, that He might use us.
Hallelujah.
And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask now that where there is
Come, Lord Jesus.
Intentional desire in this place to receive Your gifts, then we just say, let it be in the name of Jesus. And if you genuinely and intentionally desire a gift of the Spirit this morning, just begin to ask Him for it now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Just begin to express your desire. Holy Spirit, we lift up every person in our congregation who is physically unwell at this time. However small or however big a diagnosis or a condition or whatever it is, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we lift up every person who is having some kind of emotional struggle. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. We lift up every person, Lord, who has a relational difficulty at this time. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. We lift every person who has financial burdens at this time, Lord, and we pray, come, Holy Spirit. We lift every person, Lord, who is in a place of doubt about their faith, about You, and we say, come, Holy Spirit. We lift up our city this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And I just invite you to begin to think about your lives. Begin to think about the places where you live, the places where you work. And just begin to think about those people in those places. Think about your homes and the people that you share the home with. Begin to think about those people who are there at the same time as you when you collect the kids from school. Begin to think about those people who you see on a weekly basis shopping at the same time as you. That person on the till that serves you every time. And just begin to say, come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.